Charles Schulz, the late great cartoonist and creator of the Peanuts comic strip, was very familiar with the Bible. He was especially familiar with the book of James in the New Testament. We can tell because of the message conveyed by one of his earliest comic strips. Charlie Brown and Linus are trudging through a snowstorm. Snow all over the place, but they are bundled up in their winter coats, wearing galoshes and gloves. At a distance, they see Snoopy, who is shivering violently. He is obviously freezing and in great discomfort. Charlie Brown says to Linus, "Snoopy looks kind of cold, doesn't he?" To which Linus replies, "I'll say he does. Let's go over and comfort him." And the two boys walk over to Snoopy. The next frame has Linus saying, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy." And Charlie Brown says, "Yes, be of good cheer." The final frame shows the two boys walking away while Snoopy, still shivering, forms a large question mark in his mind. The author of the book of James reads that comic strip and, like Snoopy, forms the question, "What good is that?" "What good is that?" the author says. "Faith without works is dead. Be doers of the word, not hearers only." We're not sure who wrote the book of James. Some believe it was James, the brother of Jesus, who was the first leader of the early church in Jerusalem, but we're not sure. What we're sure of is that this book echoes more sayings of Jesus than any other book in the Bible, other than the four Gospels, of course. The book doesn't mention Jesus very much, but it's not meant to be about Jesus. It's meant to be about what he taught, about the Christian lifestyle. For both Jesus and for James, it's about what we do, how we live. For Jesus and James, actions speak louder than words. I like how Franciscan priest Richard Rohr puts it. In fact, he really hits the nail on the head with what's wrong with the church today and what's wrong with the country today. These two paragraphs are worth reflecting on for a long period of time. And if someone sends me an email reminder, I'll be glad to send them these paragraphs to our email list, so you can reflect on these words each week and be praying for the church and for our country. Listen to these words of wisdom. "It seems to me that it is a minority that ever gets the true and full gospel. We just keep worshiping Jesus and arguing over the exact right way to do it. The amazing thing is that Jesus never once says, 'Worship me,' but he often says, 'Follow me.'" "Christianity is a lifestyle," Rohr says, "a way of being in the world, a way that is simple, nonviolent, shared, inclusive, and loving. We made it, however, into a formal established religion in order to avoid the demanding lifestyle itself. One could then be warlike, greedy, racist, selfish, and vain at the highest levels of the church and still easily believe that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. Then Rohr concludes by saying, "The world has no time for such silliness anymore. The suffering on earth is too great." The only time I remember Jesus in the Gospels spending much time talking about the afterlife, or what is sometimes called the Last Judgment, is when he tells the parable of the sheep and the goats in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Like a shepherd, he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And he will say to the sheep, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me." Then the righteous will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you? When did we do these things?" And the Lord said, "When you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." Of course, one of the problems is that there is just so much need. There are just so many Snoopies out in the cold freezing. Hungry, freezing Snoopies are legion. As Jesus said, "The poor will be with you always." So one of the realities that Jesus had to deal with, and one of the realities that we have to deal with, is that we can't do it all. And in order for us to give to others, we have to have something to give. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to take time to receive and be nurtured. We have to balance our lives. But frankly, most of us take pretty good care of ourselves. Most of the time, our egos have us looking out for number one. And another thing we need to consider is that most of the time when we help someone, we end up helping ourselves, don't we? We end up being blessed in some way. One of the stories in this book I've just about finished, thanks to Frank Ramsey, involves a college classmate of mine, a fellow theater major named Ray McKinnon. Ray has done very well in the biz. He's been featured in the films Apollo 13, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and Driving Miss Daisy, among others. The country boy from the small town of Adel, Georgia, even won an Oscar for a short film he wrote and directed and starred in. Ray is also in the 2009 movie, The Blind Side, which is about professional football player Michael Orr. Michael grew up in the projects in Memphis, Tennessee. He was one of 12 children born to a mother who was addicted to drugs and alcohol. His father died in prison. Michael eventually became homeless. He attended 11 different schools his first 9 years as a student. Can you imagine? 11 different schools his first 9 years as a student. During his high school years, Michael, who was African American, was taken into the home and eventually adopted by a white family called the Tuies. Now, what's interesting in the film is that you not only see Michael being transformed by the love and care offered to him by the Tuies, we also see the Tuies being transformed by Michael. and his relationship with them. The matriarch of the family was Leanne Toohey. In one scene, her husband, Sean, notices there's something different about Leanne. He says, "You seem so happy lately. Does it have anything to do with Michael?" "No," she says, "it has everything to do with Michael." Later, one of her friends says, "You know, Leanne, it's really good what you're doing. You're changing Michael's life." And Leanne says, "No, he's changing mine." We're happiest when we're serving and caring for others, because in those times, we are our true selves. We're being who God created us to be. We, of course, will have lots of opportunities to help those who have suffered from the forces of Florence. Last night, we sent out an email about the websites for UMCOR, the United Methodist Committee on Relief, which does wonderful work in helping people after natural disasters. I encourage you to read about UMCOR and take action, be doers of the word, to respond to those in need. But I also encourage you to be proactive. Not to wait to help people after disasters, but try to help people before disasters. There's not a plan B, folks, when it comes to our planet. Vote for representatives that take environmental issues seriously. Don't put people into office who won't take care of God's world and God's creation and God's children. Don't put people into office who won't take care of this world. People who don't value science or who put money over ethics. The author of the book of James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Take action. Fred Craddock used to tell of a time he attended a community gathering and he was asked on the spot to say an opening prayer, which he didn't like to do. He's kind of like me. I don't like to do that kind of thing on the spot. He didn't have a prayer prepared, so he used a prayer he often said privately. He prayed, "Gracious God, I am grateful for work that is more important than how I happen to feel about it on any given day. Amen." And when the meeting was over, a man approached Dr. Craddock, said, "Are you the one who said the prayer?" "Yes, sir, I am." "Well, I want to thank you for the prayer. I like short prayers." "Well, thank you." "But," the man said, "I disagreed with what you prayed." "What was wrong with it?" "Well, in your prayer, you said you were grateful for things that were more important than how you felt about it. The way I look at it, there's nothing more important than how I feel about something. In fact, it's how I feel about it that makes it important. If I feel it's important, it's important. If I don't feel it's important, it's not important. The trouble with people is they get themselves trapped in a lot of obligations and commitments. When I go to a wedding of one of my friends and hear all of that till death do us part stuff, I just think, man, there goes all the doors and windows all shut down around him. That's it. It's all over for him. I don't believe in all that. I think you should go with your feelings. And Dr. Craddock responded, "Suppose your house caught fire and the fireman stood out in the street and watched it burn. And you go over to him and say, 'Aren't you going to put out the fire? It's burning down my house.' 'Well, I don't know. I just wasn't into this one. I didn't really feel too much about this particular fire.' Suppose every teacher went by feelings. 'I don't feel like teaching today. I don't feel like preaching today. I don't feel like opening the store today. James says it doesn't matter how you feel, you just do it. It's the right thing to do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. James doesn't care if you reach out to someone because of your head or your heart or both. He says, just do it. Iris read a wonderful poem by Ann Weems today. Wonderful poet. When I hear the story of Michael Orr, I think of another poem of Anne's, a more haunting and challenging poem entitled Greenless Child. I watched her go uncelebrated into the second grade, a greenless child, gray among the orange and yellow, attached too much to corners and to other people's sunshine. She colors the rainbow brown and leaves balloons unopened in their packages. Oh, who will touch this greenless child? Who will plant alleluias in her heart and send her dancing into all the colors of God? Or will she be left like an unwrapped package on the kitchen table, too dull for anyone to take the trouble? Does God think we're her keeper? I saw the real Leanne Toohey interviewed not too long ago, the woman whose life was profoundly transformed by adopting Michael. She said, it all started the day we were in the car on a cold November day, and as we were driving, we passed Michael, who was walking on the street in shorts and a t-shirt. After we passed him, I said to my husband, turn the car around. He turned the car around, and we talked to Michael. And that's how it all started. Those words, turn the car around, making a decision to get involved, changed our lives. The Toohey's wrote a book about their experience, and the main message of it is this. The person you just walked past is the one who could change your life. So every once in a while, stop and turn around. Sounds a lot like the main message of James's book. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen and amen.